ready for the Word? Let's get started. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I shared Thursday night that I was watching the news that day and watching world events unfold. Everything from the borders being overwhelmed with people coming in that are being bussed in intentionally to flood the United States with illegal aliens for being future voters, to Al-Qaeda and Islamic terrorists taking over the Middle East, backed by Iran, and that it looked like, it reminded me of the old shows, the documentaries I'd see from World War II, where they would show Nazi fascism spreading across Europe, and they'd show the map burning all the way across, and it reminded me of that, how terrorism's now taking over the Middle East. Everything we did to win Iraq is now being reversed because we've just turned over their top five terrorist leaders and said we're not going to be involved anymore because we want to be peaceable. We signaled to the terrorists, we give up, you know, we're not going to stop you anymore. And I was watching event after event come on the news, and I knew I was watching end time apocalyptic activity. And it dropped in me that this is now the beginning of the end. Winston Churchill in World War II, I don't know how much you know about World War II history, but when Hitler started his march across Europe, he went across Poland, Czechoslovakia, overtook France, run the British off, you know, took over all of Central Europe. And his plan was to destroy England. And he launched in 1940 the Battle of Britain, where he started mostly with bombing raids, trying to bomb England into submission. And England, through Winston Churchill's leadership, said, we're not going to give in. In fact, he gave the famous speech where he said, let them say that this was our finest hour, encouraging the troops, because it looked impossible. They're fighting the entire Nazi military machine. But through the hand of God, Britain won that battle. Hitler had to pull back the efforts to take Britain and, you know, fortify the coast of France instead. And Winston Churchill came out and said at that time, this is not the end, because they'd won that battle. This is not even the beginning of the end. But it may be the end of the beginning. In other words, the war began, and that was the end of the beginning of the war, and now they're going into another phase. And I started watching this show, and I started thinking, this is the beginning of the collapse at the end. And in my mind, it dropped. We have now reached the tipping point where there is no recovery. There are many people, again, would say, well, America can't fall because we're the home of the church and 80% of missions outreach comes out of America and all these things. And I'm not convinced. Because God looks at a nation based on what the leaders approve.
Yeah.
And again, the Scripture says, God said, even though Moses, Noah, and Elijah, if they were in the land, I still wouldn't spare this land. In other words, just because there's godly people there, I'm not going to spare them any more than God spared mankind at the flood of Noah, even though Noah was in the land. What did he do? He elevated his people above the destruction. And it just dropped in me. And this is not a prophecy, it's more of a prediction. But I believe we reached a tipping point. There's no recovery as a nation. And since that time, I've heard commentator after commentator say, we have now reached a tipping point. There's no recovery as a nation. The media are saying it. Many of our leaders are saying it. I believe as a nation, we're in major jeopardy. And many would say, well, why is this happening? How can this be? You know, why is God letting this happen? And I want to talk about this some tonight. Why is this happening in the world? And of course, we start in Genesis chapter 1, and in verse 26, he says, "And let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. There's covenant right there, right? Agreement. He blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed." Here we see God gave the earth to man. Now, most of you understand this. God gave us the keys, the title, the full responsibility to subdue the earth. He gave us dominion over it. Amen? And He says, "Now your responsibility to put all the creeping things under your feet." Now, what is one of the first things that Adam did? Instead of putting the creeping thing under his foot, he listened to the voice of the creeping thing, and through disobedience or rebellion against God, committing high treason, he turned over, I got to state this properly, he lost connection with God, and through man losing connection with God, Satan was able to step in and abdicate or take over authority of the earth in man's absence. Because man no longer had God's backing, now Satan was able to come in and through deception dominate the world scene. Amen. And so the world is a mess not because God is doing it, but because man misabused the dominion he had. He lost the ability to apply that dominion, and now darkness is sweeping across the earth. Even in Isaiah 60 where it says, "Arise and shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." He says, "For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Darkness shall cover the earth. It didn't say a few countries. It didn't say the Middle East. It said darkness is going to cover the earth. I believe God's finest hour is going to come through a people that rise up through the persecution brought on by darkness. Through the opposition, darkness opposes and applies on righteousness. And God's people are going to rise up and shine like never before. But I don't believe it's because God raised up one nation as a godly nation and it's just shining. I believe it's going to be a people that rise up in the midst of a nation covered in darkness. That's my opinion. Amen. I'm not expecting. I got to state this properly as well. I am praying for the restoration of this nation. The recovery of it. But I don't know that I have a promise. I can stand all that doesn't run contrary to the prophecies regarding the end times that guarantee this nation is going to be restored. Because if you look at the example of Israel, Israel was overthrown in more than one case. Judah and Israel, right? And all the godly people that walked on earth for the most part were in Israel and Judah at that time. We got Christians around the world right now. I heard a statistic yesterday. Listen to the radio. I don't know how many Christians there are in America. I don't know how many serious Christians there are in America. Are you following me? There's 300 million people. I would venture to say, at most, 30 million serious Christians. At most. Did you know right now in China there are 68 million Christians? I heard the statistic yesterday. 68 million Christians in China. And if you're going to be a Christian in China, you will be serious. They just burnt down a major church. Just leveled a major church in China of persecution against the people of God. So you have to be serious in where your life's at stake. So who's to say that the authority over regarding, you know, being God's people, the banner being God's people at the center of it, won't move to China? Because if you look at the flow of revival through the ages, it started in the Middle East. Then it moved westward into Europe. Are you guys following this? Once it moved through Europe, it moved westward across the Atlantic to the United States. We became the center of revival. And many prophecy teachers believe as the gospel is spread throughout the world, the next place for it to go. And once it moved to America, it pretty much left Europe. That the next place the gospel's going to go is going to continue to move westward, and the next stopping place is going to be China. These prophecies have been, this prophecy type teaching has been around for decades when there was no move of God in China. And now we're watching it manifest. I don't know that the next major move of God won't be in Asia. Look at Dr. Cho's church. There are major churches, moves of God being raised up in the West. Not to mention right now the world's largest church is in Nigeria, Africa. I've got the information on my desk. 4 million members. So they're building a church to seat 4 million members. I believe they're already at that level now or in excess of it. In the midst of a country covered in darkness. Have you heard about the Christian girls that were kidnapped and they're being prepared to be sold into, you know, to slavery and all this stuff? It's been on the news. That's Nigeria. In the same country where gross darkness is filling the land, God's raising up a church of 4 million. So I'm not going to rest on the mindset that America is going to, you know, recover when I don't know that it will. Because I'm watching collapse of foundation blocks across this country. I'm just going to rest on the mindset I know if I will seek God, if I will pray and I'll do what He said, He's going to raise up cities of revival in these end times. Georgetown, Kentucky, if we will do what we're supposed to do, we will pray, seek God, and work the Word what He shows us, this will be a city of glory. Because that's the vision God showed me. He didn't show me a nation of revival. He showed me a city of glory. Now, I'm believing, and I really do believe this. I believe as gross darkness fills the earth and the glory comes upon the revivalist church, I believe God's going to restore America through revival. But I have no confidence it's going to be in a political vote. No confidence is going to be through some man-made move trying to, you know, shut down darkness. How do you shut down demonic activity through picket signs? Yard political signs. It's going to take the church rising up in genuine spiritual activity versus just walking around, you know, in some floaty cloud. Well, I'm just trying to be a loving Christian. Darkness must be confronted by faith and shut down by intercession. Amen. And so here we see God gave the earth to man. So it's not God doing all this. It's darkness. But God intends to raise up a move of God on His people in these end times to raise up the glorious bride that I believe will have a reversing effect. I don't believe God's done with America. I just don't believe the Constitution is going to protect us anymore to produce the desired results. I believe we've gone beyond constitutional protection because it's being violated openly without restraint. We can't trust all three branches of our government, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive. They've all been compromised. So when the branches of government that are there to bring balance of power to guard one another when they're all compromised, who's guarding the flock? Who's maintaining national integrity? No one. But who does the genuine responsibility fall on? The church. The church are to be the monitors and the guardians of the advancement of the nation. Amen? And we're the ones with the authority to make change. And I believe God intends to raise up cities and pockets of revival that as the glory is poured out will connect together and start bringing restoration to the land. Amen? But don't put your hope in an election. Amen. It's going to take God. From this point on, only God can recover this nation. That's what I believe. Now, John chapter 10. Again, we're talking about how did it get in such a mess. This can be one of these discs you can get, CDs you can give to your friends and say, this will explain some stuff to you. Verse 10, John 10:10. This is Jesus speaking. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have abundance. Where it says abundantly, that's not a proper rendering of that phrase. He says that they might have life and abundance. We have a good God and a bad devil. The reason the earth, the reason the United States is in such a mess is because man messed up his opportunity to activate dominion and subdue the earth. Satan stepped in and man's rebellion took over and he's releasing darkness and there's no major group releasing much light. And the result is darkness covering the earth. God has always intended the earth to be a Garden of Eden. He told man in Genesis chapter 1, subdue the earth. Behold, I give you every herb-bearing seed. God's plan was that man take that seed, the seed of the plants and trees, the seed of the animals he was to subdue, the seed of the words he was to speak because he had this dominion. Amen. And even the seed of man. And go into the earth and replicate the Garden of Eden and turn the entire earth into this garden. And God's going to have it before he's done. But the process was interrupted when man rebelled against God, when he ate of that fruit. Amen. And now no one is taking the dominion Adam was told to take through the power of seed. Until Jesus came on the scene. And when Jesus came, he put man back in right standing with God. He says, okay, you're back in my image. Once again, take the seed. And Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. Take the seed and once again produce restoration. And instead of the church getting in their seed packet, I mean, oh, this is your seed packet. I keep mine in the cover to protect my seed packet, right? You're to unzip your seed packet, go in the Word, take out the seed, and sow it into the soil. Speak the Word only. And God said, when you speak this Word, a supernatural process is activated, that the power and program of the seed is released in the soil around you. And if enough people will sow the seed, you can take back the land. In Deuteronomy, God was given Joshua instructions for taking the promised land. And he said, you're going to go in and you're going to conquer the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Gibeonites and all the Ike brothers. He said, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Amen? And there's giants in the land. You're going to conquer these people, but they're greater than you. Only be strong and of a good courage, right? For I've given you the land. And God said, I'm only going to get let you go in and take the land to the place you can hold the land. Because if I just turn the land over to you, the wild animals will come in and devour all the harvest. So I'm going to have you go in a piece at a time and take what you can hold. And that's what he wants to do with the church. He wants his church revival remnant groups to start advancing forth, speaking the word, and taking ground spiritually. By spiritual, I mean you're going to do it in the spirit, but it's going to have a natural effect. And start possessing territory corporately as a church in these end times. And God says, whatever you can hold, you can possess. And God's going to take his remnant church and start recovering cities. How many cities? I don't know. Whether the cities can connect together and take the whole country back, I don't know. But God's going to have touchdown points of his glory. That life in the glory pockets will not resemble life in the darkness. In fact, there was a show, I don't know if they're still making them or not. Yeah, I think they're coming out with a whole new group of them. Did you ever watch Survivor Man? Survivor Man is Les Stroud, and he was actually the forerunner of Bear Grylls, if you've watched, you know, Men in Wild, what is it? Man versus Wild. And Les would go out by himself. Bear would have a whole filming crew. Les would go out by himself and take his own cameras. He'd walk so far, put up his cameras, and he'd go back and he'd walk it again just so you could see him walking. And he'd go in these wilderness places and survive for a week and have a certain place he'd get to where they would meet him and pick him up. And he'd show survival skills, much like Bear Grylls does. Just Les always kept his clothes on. Bear seems to enjoy getting naked or for some reason and doing jumping jacks in front of the camera. And so, if I can remember where I was going with this story, yeah, they dropped Les off one time in Costa Rica. Now he's by himself, he doesn't have this whole crew. And he's on the beach in Costa Rica, and he spends a day or two on the beach, and you know, conditions are kind of lousy there and everything. He says, you know, I need to start hiking to find civilization. That's what he always try to hike to find civilization. And so he goes into this jungle in Costa Rica, and he's walking through the jungle and everything, you know, parting brush, and there's big trees everywhere, and you know, he'll see a little nature there, and it's dark. He hadn't made any shelter. So he says, I'm just going to sit on this log here and get some rest. I don't remember exactly how it went, but he says, I'm going to rest here. And he's resting on the log, and it gets totally dark. I mean pitch black in the jungle. I mean just black. Can't see a thing. Anybody see this episode? If I can make up what I want to, then you won't know the difference. And as he's sitting there, he starts hearing something near him. So he lights up his torch. Either, I think it was a torch. It may have been a flash. I think it was a he'd always make his own fire, so he must have lit a torch. And when the darkness fell, every creepy crawler you can think of was all over the place. There's giant spiders. There's centipedes this long. They're crawling around. He's surrounded by all this stuff. I don't think he blew the torch out. He's like, whoo, whoo, whoo. That would be hell to Patty. That would be absolute hell to Patty. And so the point is there's stuff that comes out in the darkness you don't want to sleep with. You're better off keeping the light going. And God intends to raise up a church that keeps the light going, that the creepy critters are driven out by the light. Did you ever go to a place that was infested with roaches? I had a friend, one of my best friends growing up, lived above a laundromat, and their apartment was roach infested. Absolutely roach infested. And of course, we're in the country, there's just a bug, but you know, and you'd go into a room and flip on a light, and roaches would scatter. Yeah. Of course, they got so bold, they're carrying a jar of peanut butter as they go and all this stuff, you know. Whistle while you work. Two are bouncing on another one's back. You know, there's peanut butter. I found that Amy's dog loves peanut butter breakfast squares. I was eating one. I gave her a bite, and that dog's eyes lit up, and it went into a trance-like state. Peanut butter squares! I started putting them around the house, and it would run and grab that one and grab this one. So I called Patty yesterday, and I was talking to her. I was in North Carolina. I said, I found out the dog loves the peanut butter breakfast squares, like a granola or, you know, chewy thing. She says, really? Well, I've got half of one. I'll try it and see if, you know, I'll give her a little taste, see if she likes it, you know, if she wants any. And she turned around, and she left half of one on her table. The dog had got on the couch and ate the entire thing, and the wrappers across the room. She found out I was right. Anyway, the roaches scatter in the light. Creepy crawlers are dispossessed. They're driven out by light. Those things are allowed to grow in the jungle because there is perpetual darkness. There's conditions for it. But you create the right conditions, and that stuff cannot reproduce. It won't hang around. And God's looking to raise up a church that drives out darkness. Amen. But we've got to intentionally do it. It's not going to be done by a sovereign wave of God saying, okay, well, I've seen enough. My church is buried up under enough, and now they just have to go. The church is going to have to learn to exercise their dominion, to really become intercessors and recognize that's really what it does. Yesterday, Friday, the number one thing that blessed me is when I was talking to Amy. She's saying, the car won't start. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm in a turnabout. I've got all the traffic stopped. You know, what do I do? And I'm thinking, okay, now what do I ever do with this? And the first thing out of her mouth, she didn't call the tow truck. She didn't call, you know, some mechanic. She says, Dad, will you pray? And it blessed me. She knew if Dad would pray, stuff happens. And it did. And now I've got the car back at home. Amen. From 500 miles away. And so, the end time church is going to learn the power of prayer. And to drive out the creepy crawlers with their dominion. Now with that in mind, turn to 2 Peter. Our chapter on love, right? 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to verse 2. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things. How many know God's given us all things? All things that pertain unto life, that Zoe life, nothing missing, nothing broken, right? Unto life and godlikeness, godliness. Dwelling in the presence and power of God. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. You've been called to glory. Right? You've been called to virtue. That word virtue really has connected to it the power of the fire of God. It has to do with zeal or spiritual energy. God's called you to be on fire for Him. And He's called us to the glory. Whereby are given unto us, say me, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, God's provision to walk in His fullness, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, by these you might be partakers. He didn't say, you will be partakers. Amen? He said, you might be. These promises are not guaranteed to manifest in our life. They're guaranteed promises, but they're not guaranteed to manifest automatically in our life. These promises are accessed by faith. These promises are accessed by believing the Word of God and acting on the Word of God. It's God's will that all be healed. It's an exceeding great and precious promise. But not everybody steps into it. But there is a process by which, if you will build and use your faith, you can have it guaranteed. Amen. So we want to be those that manifest these promises. We want to be these that walk into God's provision of Zoe, His provision to walk in the fullness of the divine nature. Amen? Versus be trampled on by darkness, to be limited by darkness and by the rulers of darkness, right? We are to be those that become promise receivers. Not just promise keepers, but promise receivers. That being said, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I touched on this Thursday night as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's go to verse number 20. For all the promises of God are in Him, yea, and Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Do you see this? All the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Now, we always say the promises of God are in Him, yes and amen, and they're guaranteed, and you know, we can stand on God's promises and God will not violate His covenant. He will maintain His promises to us and we can manifest these promises, right? But let's take a minute and break down this verse a little more. All the promises in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. God has given us these promises. But we have no guarantee of their manifestation until they are amen. The promises are yes. God said, I say yes to every promise I put in the Word. It's like, you know, a little child comes to their parent and says, Mom, can I have a fudgesicle? And Mom's answer in that case may be yes or maybe no. Then the child's left to go sneak the fudgesicles, right? Mom's answer may be yes or no. Mom, can I have a cookie? The answer may be yes or no. But chances are, if the child comes and says, Mom, can I have some celery? The answer is always yes. No, you can't have any more celery. You've been eating too much celery lately. Mom, can I have spinach? Answer is going to be yes, right? As long as a child is going to receive something healthy for them, the answer is going to be yes. And in God's case, all the promises of God are healthy for us. And is every time you come to God, the answer of God, if you ask Him, can I have this promise, His answer is yes. All the promises of God for us are yes. But for them to be manifest requires an amen put on the yes. There's two parts to manifesting a promise of God. There's the yes, God says, yes, that's yours. But there's an amen required. And the amen is our responsibility. Now, we talked about this Thursday night. And what do we find that the word amen means? So be it, right? In other words, when you say amen to a promise, you say so be it in my life. God says, I promise you healing. And so you say, I receive that healing, so be it unto me according to your word. Right? That's what Mary said to the angel, right? And so every promise requires a so be it connected to it. And we talked about that we are the so be it union, right? We're the church connected together in covenant. Receiving God's promises, we're the so be it union. Which are going to undo the darkness of the Soviet Union. Which is really the same darkness that's sweeping across America right now. And so we've got to be those that stamp amen on the promises of God. Amen. When we say amen to anything I'm ministering, you're going, so be it. Amen means I agree. Let it be. So be it. I receive that in manifestation. And he says here, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. But the amen is our job. So why is the earth filled with darkness? It's not because God hadn't given promises. It's because nobody's, not enough people have amened it. It's going to take more than two intercessors to shut down the darkness spreading across the world. There's too many holes in the breach. He says, in him, yes, and in him, amen. Unto, this always catches my eye. I am tuned to the word glory in Scripture. Because that's the vision and promise God gave me. When I see the word glory, I stop and I study what's it talking about. And he says, the promises of God are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. If we will receive the promises of God and amen them, it will lead to us walking in the glory. But the by us lets us know the amen is our part. Moving into the glory is our part. I'm convinced God's not just going to rain glory from heaven on all the people that call themselves Christians. Everybody that's, you know, said, I believe in Jesus. It's not going to happen like that. Amen. We read that in John 15 this morning, right? Jesus said, if you abide in me, right? I'm the vine, you are the branches. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And in verse 6, he says, and men take those branches and throw them in the fire and they're burned. In him means they've given their life to Jesus. But it's possible to give your life to Jesus and still be kindling. Because you would not move ahead and bear fruit. The promises of God are there to recover this nation. The promises of God are there for us to see the city restored. The promises of God are there for us to receive of the glory. But until the church moves into that place of advanced intercession, of learning to really stand in the gap and speak the will of God into our situations, there's no amen being put on the promises properly, and darkness continues to prevail. And the church is just sitting back saying, oh God, we're waiting for your move. And God's saying, I'm waiting for you. Rise up. Arise and shine. That's a directive. For your light has come, the glory has risen upon you. Now you've got to get up. And I'm convinced that the remnant revivalist church is about to move into their finest hour. Because they're the ones going, so be it. Unto the glory of God by us. Well, I just think you're an elitist. I'm not an elitist. Don't think we're better than anybody. Are you following me? I believe all that go after God and follow His lead and apply their life to the principles of the kingdom of God are going in. But I don't believe lazy, kickback Christianity is going to cut it. Hadn't so far. If you go back 50 years ago seems like a long time, but if I think back, it's really not that long ago. I mean, the Beatles were out 50 years ago. Is that possible? Wow. 50 years ago, the vast, vast majority of this nation would call themselves Christian. And yet darkness, since that time, has taken the earth. We understand when they took prayer to the schools, there's been a collapse all around us of every indicator of stability in the nation, right? All the way that 10 years after they took prayer to school, then they legalized abortion. And things have continued to spiral downhill since that. That now, the majority of Americans believe homosexuality is an accepted alternate lifestyle. Something's wrong. And so just being a Christian nation wasn't good enough. For my Ghana friends, Ghana claims, my understanding is, to be 90% Christian and much more on fire than the American church. But that nation is not walking in the fullness of the blessings of God. Amen. There are many more hardships in Ghana than there are in the United States right now. So just because we have a Christian title doesn't mean that God's going to restore your land. But He is going to restore the land of those that learn how to operate by faith. Put so be it or amen on the promises of God and move into restoration function. And start manifesting what God has promised. I do believe there's coming outpourings of God. Amen? You can't deny outpourings of God. On the day of Pentecost, they weren't in faith for tongues to come on them. They were in faith if we just hang together. Jesus said there's coming a promise of the Father, the Comforter's coming to us, but they didn't know they're going to be speaking in tongues. And you know, Peter's going to be out in the streets preaching and all this stuff. They're going to be locked up and killed and all these things. They didn't know all that was going to happen. They're just believing for the promise. Jesus said, just wait for the Comforter. So what happens, they do what God says. 120 of the 500 plus He appeared to. And that 120 received an impartation of God that transformed the world. And I believe in these end times. He's got groups of 120. Groups of 20, groups of possibly thousands that are doing what He said to do, and there'll be outpourings that'll touch them. But He's not coming on the case of Rossara Church. He's not coming on the church that doesn't know how to pray or how to use faith. Amen? What was it differentiated? Do you know, understand that Jesus appeared to over 500 people? What was it separated the 120 from the 500? Faith? I would not be surprised if they started off with 500 in an upper room. After about a day, 100 of them said, I got stuff I got to do. I ain't got time for this. They're going, well, Jesus said he sent in a comforter. Well, maybe. I got stuff I got to do. After the second day, another 100 says, well, I think maybe 100, maybe they heard God. Because it's crazy. It started to stink up here anyway. You know, see, there's not a shower around. What's going on? And after 10 days, they're down to 120. They said, He said it, I believe it, and I'm not moving until I see the manifestation. And here came the outpouring. Faith separated the 380 from the 120. And it's going to separate in these end times. Those who will put the so be it on God's yes to the promises. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some standing. It's going to take some determination. Versus living in la-la land, thinking, well, just God loves us and it's all going to work out. It doesn't work like that. In the Vietnam War, nearly 60,000 American young men were killed. So 58,000 men were killed in the Vietnam War. South Korea supported America in that war. We supported South Korea in the Korean War. And when Vietnam broke out, South Korea actually acted as an ally to America in that war. And many, many South Koreans were killed in the Vietnam War. Dr. Cho's church, being a faith church, at any one time 10,000 people praying on Prayer Mountain, at least of recent ages, recent days. During the Vietnam War, they were not nearly as big, but they had numerous, numerous of their sons in that war. Faith church. And not a single son from that church was lost in Vietnam. Believing makes a difference. and can keep you from being a casualty and convert you to a victor. Because the Word said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's a promise. The Word says He always causes us to triumph and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. That's a promise. Will anybody put an amen to it? He's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So be it. Behold, I give you power to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the wicked one, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I receive that. I put my stamp of amen on these promises. And when you do that, you elevate yourself to a place now God's provision can connect with your life. We call faith many times the power of God. You know, the power of faith. Faith is not the power. Faith is the conduit. Faith is the pipeline. The anointing is the power. Are you following me? Faith connects us from earth to heaven's provision of the anointing in the third heaven. And faith is merely a pipeline that allows the third heaven's provision to come into our life. But understand, the size of your faith does determine how much power can be transmitted. You know, I'm not an electrical engineer, but I do have a pretty good knowledge of much electrical information. I probably worked for more electrical stuff than mechanical stuff as an engineer. And certainly put in more wire than I have pipes in the past 30. And so I understand that if you want to transmit a small amount of power, and power is not voltage, power is amperage. I know you guys all follow that one, right? Voltage is the potential to transmit power. But amperage is how much power is actually transmitted. Amen? And so when you're measuring, you know, electrical use in your house, you know, and you plug something into your wall, it's either a 15 amp or a 20 amp breaker. Amperage is how much power can come through that wire. And if you try to exceed, if you have a small amount of power, you can use a little thin wire to transmit it. To transmit a lot of power, say at any given voltage, you need a fat, thick wire. So the wire is going, you know, to your outlets in your house, either number 12 or number 14 gauge wire that will transmit 15 to 20 amps. But say you got a 200 amp panel in your house, the wires coming in the house are big, fat, I mean they're as thick as your thumb coming in. Because it takes a big wire to transmit a lot of amperage. If you try to transmit a lot of amperage through a small wire, it melts. That's why we put breakers or fuses in lines, because it could be somebody tries to put something on that line that's going to draw way too much power, and they want to make sure you don't melt the wire and burn a house down. So we put a fuse in the beginning of that line that says if you try to go above this power use, it will melt this fuse or trip this breaker and keep from burning down the house. And so, faith is the conductor. It's the conduit. It's the pipeline that the power can travel through. And your faith is a little bitty. And you try to call upon some big thing with your little faith, it's tripping breakers up in heaven. Says, no, he don't have the provision. He don't can't receive that. It'd burn out every circuit he's got. Going to burn down his house trying to receive much power. He's not wired for that. So we meditate the Word until we build our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We activate our faith to develop our faith. And what it does, it expands the conductor or the conduit by which we can receive power. Faith is the conduit. The anointing is the power. But there's a switch. How many of you in your house, you turn the lights and you flip a switch? You want power released, you know, it's available. But you need it to your application. You're going to plug in your blender, right, or your television or whatever. You need the power to the end goal, the end function. There's going to be a switch that's got to be flipped. Now, what is a switch to this conduit of the anointing we're manifesting? What is that switch? The switch is the amen. The switch is the so be it. The switch is to say is your declaration. I decree this in my life. I agree with the promise of God He's made to me. Let it manifest now. Amen. In Jesus' name. Without a so be it, you can have faith to move mountains. You can have, in fact, you do have all the power and provision of God available to you in heavenly places, right? There's infinite supply of power. But we've got to be those that put the so be it to the faith and to the power. And that's what intercession is doing. That's one application of that conduit. As you're going to God and you're saying, God, so be it unto me according to thy will. Let your plans and purposes be done in my life, in this region, in this nation, surrounding us, in our church. Let your promises manifest unto us, and you name whatever God puts in your heart to name. And what are you doing? You're putting a so be it. You're flipping the switch to the promise of God. Now, we don't have enough switch flippers. We got a lot of people educated in the things of the kingdom. But we don't have enough people that are getting before God and saying, I'm flipping switches. Now, we got all these lights in this building. We have virtually very few light switches in the building. All the lights are controlled by the breakers. So those that know how to turn on the lights will say, go turn on the lights. And there's all these breakers. And they're going, flip, flip, or flip, 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 flip. And lights are clicking on all over the place. And when I first came in, they were flipping on and off everything. So they were shutting down our refrigerators, shutting down the espresso machine, shutting down everything that we needed to stay on. You don't want the refrigerator shutting off. So I had to go in and label with big signs, no, 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 yes, yes, this is that, don't do that. And some I had to put some tape over, not to glue it shut because it's still going to trip the breaker. Don't touch this one. Because we kept having to pitch everything out of the refrigerator in the back because it was right in the middle of the breakers that were supposed to be on, and it was an off, and invariably it was being turned off. So to get the power released in this building, to turn on the lights, there's a whole set of banks of breakers we flip on. Amen? And in the same way, God's looking for those in the church to rise up and be switch flippers. And start saying, so be it unto us according to thy will. That's what so be it saying. Let this promise be manifest. You're not just saying let it be. You're declaring, I declare this promise manifest among us. And watch the power start to move. Now look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our inabilities, right? That would include our not knowing what to do, or even including not knowing what to say. The Spirit of God is there to help us. Jesus said, I send you the Comforter. He's coming to help. Well, here Paul says, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, our infirmities, our inabilities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself also maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God, when you pray in tongues, this is talking about tongues. When you pray in tongues, the Spirit prays through you the will of God. Now, what did Mary say? So be it unto me according to thy will. We could as easily put in there, amen to thy will, is what she said. Mary just said, amen to thy will. Be it unto me, I receive it. And here it says, the Spirit helps us, prays through us the will of God. So when you're praying in tongues, what are you doing? You're going, amen. Amen to that promise. Amen to that promise. Amen to that guaranteed word of God. Amen to that one. I don't even know what I'm praying, but I'm amen in the perfect will of God right now for these situations. And you go into accelerated amen manifestation. And you're tripping on breakers on every panel around. Dabrasa, click, click, click. Babro korobo, click, 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 click. You don't even know what's going on, but power is being released because you're praying in the Spirit the will of God. Manifestation is on the way. And it may not even be that, you know, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying some big manifestation of a power release. You may be praying that somebody get the revelation how to say amen to the promise himself. Father, I just pray for my family. And in the Spirit, you're saying, let them get a revelation that they can flip switches themselves. But when it says you're praying the perfect will of God, you're praying, so be it. You're putting your stamp of agreement on God's will, and that word is His will. And you are now authenticating or authorizing God's purposes to be done. So why did God give tongues to the first century church? Because He declares the end from the beginning. And He says, I launched the church out with this gifting. I'm going to finish the work with the church with this gifting. They receive the impartation at Pentecost. Now He's going to finish the application of this gift in the manifestation of His end time glory. The enemy will attack you praying in tongues probably harder than anything else you're going to do. You'll try to pray in tongues and find 47 things you need to be doing, 27 distractions, and your phone will ring off the hook. Nobody else has called you for a week, but you start praying in tongues. Now here comes the phone ringing. Texting. I got another text. That's how much the devil knows. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're flipping switches. You're shutting down darkness. The creepy crawlers have to find a place to disperse to. Can you imagine this for a minute? Demon powers, you know, when we attack the demonic, they don't die. You know, we're not hitting them with the sword of the Spirit and they just disperse into a mist, you know, like you see in the movies. When you attack demonic powers in the Spirit, they don't die. They just relocate. Now, in the Costa Rica jungle there, all those creepy crawlers were there, you know, in that area. That's a concentrated manifestation of creepy crawlers. I mean, they're just compacted in there and all of them are in that one area because that's their safe zone. That's their, you know, breeding ground. Can you imagine once a church rises up and starts praying in the Spirit like they're supposed to and being the Soviet Union they're supposed to be and they're dispersing darkness because they're turning on the lights all around and all those demonic entities have to move to places where there's no light, that if you're in a city of darkness, just how dark it's going to become? If you're in a church of darkness, just how dark that church is going to become. There will be no visibility beyond that spiritually. And whatever jumps in your head or jumps on your emotions, well, that's just what God's telling me to do. And there's going to be a mess. But be not discouraged. Because God's light's going to come on you, right? Because you're going to be saying, so be it. You're going to be developing your faith. You're going to be advancing with God. You're going to be trusting Him to take you through. Don't be dismayed at the darkness you see. You know, I see the news now, and it tries to grieve me. It grieves me we sacrificed over 4,000 American lives to take Iraq, and then we just give it right back without any resistance. Well, we're done on that playground. Fend for yourself. That bothers me. It bothers me we turn over five of the major terrorist leaders that men gave their lives to fighting. At least one of them were involved in the planning of 9/11. We turn them over for one army deserter. That bothers me. It bothers me our borders been thrown wide open, that I can't bring a Ghana pastor over here without spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars and jumping through every hoop possible just trying to get them a visa. And we're shipping people from South American countries, Central American countries, to the Mexican border so they can walk over. They'll flood us there. It bothers me in this group. They're inviting the gangs over. The gangs are, Mexican gangs are coming, cartel gangs are coming over freely without resistance, and Patty can't go to the courthouse with her cuticle scissors without them being confiscated. Because she's such a deadly threat to, you know, our system. I'm a black belt and I have cuticle scissors. Take out your jugular. This all bothers me. But I do know the Scripture said when a nation turns her back on God, darkness will take over. And my assignment of God is to be focused on the light. If I start looking at the darkness, darkness will try to consume my attitude. So instead, I'm going to look at the glory in the Word. I'm going to look at the water tower out front and remember what God promised me. And I'm going straight toward that, and everything collapses around me. We're going to start and take back the country from the inside out through revival versus political action. Now, praise God, I hope elections turn it around. I really do. Hope we can undo some of the ridiculous damage we've done. But I have no promise of God that that's going to happen. Amen? The Bible tells me to pray for our leaders and those who are in authority, we might live peaceable lives. It's hard for me to pray for those in authority when they've got a different God over their life.
Right.
And so I'm praying, God, get them out of there. Bring revival, bring a move of your Spirit. Because without it, we're done as a nation. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Keep the faith and pray in tongues, and God will turn us around. Father, we thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. You cause it to rise up and be your assigned intercessors that stand in the gap. Whether we're called to intercession as a major spiritual assignment or not, we're called to pray. And Father, as we pray, let us spend time praying in a spirit where your perfect will is done and gaps are filled and your glory is manifest. We believe in your promises. We refuse to have a single one of them not claimed in our lives and in our church. And we advance forcefully into your plans and purposes. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer, I'll be up here. Be glad to pray with. Otherwise, hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing.